to the workhouse. So I went around to Alcoholics Anonymous and played the same game. And the trip downhill was horrible, horrific. Everything I'd hoped for, everything I'd dreamed of when I was that little girl running through the sunshine chasing butterflies, evaporated right in front of my eyes. I didn't understand why. I didn't understand it. You know, I'd have those moments when I didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to be that way. And when I looked outside once, and I had a bottle in one hand, and I looked outside, I saw my children waiting outside for the bus. And I saw the neighbor ladies were out there, and their hair was shiny, and they were laughing. And I wanted to be out there. And I didn't understand why. And my kids were standing over here. You know, it gets to the point, other people don't want their children to play with the kids of a drunk. Because she might come into the house. She might disrupt it. And she had done that an awful lot. You know, they were terrified that their kids were going to be sucked into this as well. I had been caught driving drunk with the kids on the wrong side of the street. Everything that today I shudder to think about happened. And I didn't want it to be that way. And, you know, the only way I could handle that was to drink, because there was no program in my life. And it was a vicious circle. And the men had stopped asking Bruce to play golf, had stopped asking Bruce to bowl, had stopped asking him to go places. His office was on guard. I'd walked in there and raised Cain. I got out on the golf course to scream at him. It was unbelievably horrific. Horrific. And on March the 4th of 1972, I was sitting at the kitchen table. I'd finished everything there was to drink in the house. By 9 o'clock in the morning, first time I didn't have that terrible feeling down here in the pit of my stomach that if I didn't have a drink, I was gonna die. I just sat there. First time, no rubbing alcohol, none of that stuff. Just sat there and I watched my family go to church. Nobody said goodbye. It's a lonely sickness. Not only had people stopped talking to them and me, but they didn't dare talk to me. They never knew what I was going to do next. So it was a place of silence, and nobody said goodbye. And when they walked out that door and shut it, I had seen on those faces all the horror, damnation, and hell that alcoholism creates in lives, and I knew something. I knew I am an alcoholic, and I wanted to live. I knew I was dying, and it isn't that I weighed 62 pounds and my hair was coming out in shreds, and I had the wine sores and the whole ball of wax. My soul was almost dead, and I didn't want it to be that way. And what happened, I never said, God help me, because I slammed a door on him a long time ago. But what happened in that fleeting moment was that God found that little part of my soul that hadn't been chewed alive by alcohol and zoomed in with a gift of sobriety, and it's never going to happen again. And maybe that's why I stay in meeting rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe that's why I'm doing the same things that I've been doing for the last 35 years. Because I don't want to give it a chance. You know, some guy scared the underpants off of me one day in a meeting. He said, you know, here we sit in a meeting room, and we laugh, and we cry, and we, you know, we're safe. And all the time we're in here, alcohol is doing push-ups out in the parking lot, just waiting. And that really made a big impression. You know, I believe that it was a gift I was given that day. And I don't know, it's kind of like maybe when you're a kid, you know, and you get a Monopoly set for Christmas and you're all happy. And